Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, listeners. This is the day that God has made. We have to learn, rejoice, and be glad in it. It's Wednesday night, time for Words of Wisdom Bible Study. I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God that brings a message as plain, as simple as I can. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you. And I thank God for allowing us to assemble on Wednesday night to explore the Word of God together. As always, it is God's desire that we learn of Him, take on the image of His Son, which was His divine purpose for us. That's why He allowed His Son to become human, walk on earth, to be an example for us how to live for God. And truly, why to live, why we should live for God. There's so much going on in our world today. You know, we hear on the news how those precious little children are being detained by the United States government, you know, for no other reason than for their political agenda. But when you look at those things and you keep hearing it over and over, you know, it's not much that you can do but pray, and then really prayers is enough. But we know that God is in control and He's working it out. And we just have to trust Him. But we have to do our part, pray, make our petitions known unto God. Let Him know what we're concerned about and how we feel about the evil in the world and the unjust practices that are being, you know, placed on people. Lord, I'm just thankful and I'm grateful. And I thank each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedule on Wednesday night . So with that being said, I want you to know our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Romans. The title of the lesson is Where You Start. And, you know, we could look at ourselves and see where we are right now, you know, and how we started out, you know, and we all have hopes and dreams of where we want to go. But I came to tell you tonight that where you start or started has nothing to do with where you finish. See, that's what gives us the hope, and that's what gives us expectancy on believing that God is going to allow our ladder to be better than our beginning. You know, all of us should grow in grace and the knowledge of God. And if we look at our lives in 10-year increments, you know, when you was 20, you know, you may have acted that one way. And then when you made 30, you should be able to look at that 20 to 30 and see the changes that was made, the growth that happened, and how you have placed yourself in a better position. And then you get that 30 to 40, should be even better than that 20 to 30. Come on, y'all. You know, are you looking at your life and seeing where you was and where you came from and where you're going to? And are you doing what's necessary to get you from point A to point B? Because you remember, you do have a part to play. But our lesson tonight is, as I said earlier, is where you start has nothing to do with where you finish. And our lesson is coming from the book of Romans. We're in the 8th chapter. We're going to study the 28th through the 31st verse. At this time, as always, I play a song, and the title of the song tonight is We Come This Far By Faith. I don't know if you realize it, but how you have gotten to the place or the point where you at right now. It was a faith walk, because the Bible teaches that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you started out on your journey, when you wake up in the morning, you don't know where you're going to end, but with prayer and supplication and faith, you believe you're going to make it to the next day if it's the Lord's will. So we are living, and it should be a faith walk that we walk in this life. And the title of our song is We Come This Far By Faith. You know, and we're going to have to go further by faith. And we're going to have to just hold on to the confession of our faith if we're going to make it in this sin-sick world. You know, this world don't love nobody. People's hearts are cold. They're doing anything and everything that seems right in their own eyes. Satan is making wrong look right, and people are accepting it as their perception, and they're dealing with it as if it's their reality. So what I'm going to do is play this song, We Come This Far By Faith. I'm going to come back after that. We're going to go to the throne of grace. And then we're going to explore the word of God together. You know, I don't know when you get ready to call in on Wednesday night, do you sit down and say a prayer and ask God for the word that's going to go forth, that he open your ears and your eyes, that you could hear and receive and you could become a doer and not just a hearer? Do you get the scriptures that's posted and meditate on them, read them and study them and meditate on them? You see, the Holy Ghost is working inside of you to deal with things for you. And you, whatever you put in spiritually, the Holy Ghost is going to have it and hold it. And when it's necessary, he's going to bring it back to your memory. But he can't bring up or out what has not gone in. So remember, again, we do have a part to play. So I'm going to play the song, and I'll be right back.
What shall I do, Lord? Uh-huh.
What? Yep.
Anybody in here ever had to ask him that? What shall I do?
What shall I do?
Worrying about how things are going to come out. David runs in my bedroom and says, the Lord is my shepherd. And you don't have to want for nothing. Then Job runs through my bedroom. Say, Cleveland, I know what you're going through. Job say, I've been there. lost everything I had. Job said, but I decided no matter what was going on. Job leaned over the bed and this is what Job told me. Myself laying out at Daniel Freeman Hospital in the emergency room with chest pains all over my body. I didn't know to pray. I was hurting so bad. And I was laying there and they had, you know, them folks, they be breaking in. They had one of them little young girls in there, and she standing around, and the others were standing around, and the little young girl said to the man, he's not going to make it, is he? And you know, when you know what you know. I was hurting, but I heard her. And I raised up off that emergency table and said, yes, I am. Because the God I serve is the God. And this is what I told the man. I know he'll come. Can I get a witness in here? If I don't ever see you no more, I want you to take this as serious as possible. If I don't ever see you no more, I want you to hold on to this one thought. No matter where you find yourself in life, just know that God's going to come through. Together. I know he'll come through. Tell him, hang on in there, because I know he'll come through.
What shall I do? My intentions was to play We Come This Far by Faith. So maybe at the end of the program, if we have time, I'll play it. But it's amazing how I went to play one thing and something else came up, you know. So I pray that that song was for someone, because, you know, we all get to the place in our lives where we just, like, our back is up against the wall and we have to just sit and cry out to God, God, what shall I do? You know, and as the song songwriter said, like Joe said, I'm going to wait until my change comes through. Well, it's time to go to the throne of grace in prayer. And if anyone would like to pray, please press the one button. And I'll open up the mic and you could pray tonight. God is allowing this opportunity to go forth. And anyone who would like to pray can press the one button on your phone. Caller, your number is 504-451-07. Your mic is open, and you may pray at this time. Hello?
God. Hello?
Oh, this Madison? I didn't know that number. How you doing,
yeah.
Madison?
I'm
thank
good.
You
my
so much for calling in again. Huh?
My phone wasn't
working.
What
did working. You say? Praise
my
God.
My phone wasn't
so
working.
Okay, I heard you. Thank God. So, Madison, would you go ahead and bring us to the throne of grace at this time?
Yes, ma'am. God, thanks for allowing us to wake up today and letting us think about you, because without you, we wouldn't be nothing and we would be nowhere in life. And I want to thank you for the Bible, because the Bible gives us everything we need to know, gives us knowledge, power, and we all know knowledge is key. So that just brings us closer to you, and that we get holy knowledge, that's even better. And God, please allow us to know that when we're sinning, it's bad, but we are forgiven. Because when we sin sometimes, we know we're doing it, but we don't think of the casualties of what your son had to go through in order for us to be forgiven, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. And if it's God's will, I continue you. Keep praying and keep pressing, and God will see you through. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was my grandson, Madison Andrew Chambers, 14 years old. At this time, we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. As always, I do a background, and tonight, I guess, I decided to do the background a little bit on Romans, which is the book that we're in, because we always used to talk about the book, the author, the purpose of the book. So we keep doing that. We only refreshing ourselves in the things of God. So I want you to know that the epistle to the Romans, and remember when people say epistles, they're talking about letters to the Romans, is the sixth book in the New Testament. Biblical scholars agree that it was composed by the Apostle Paul. And I hope each and every one of you remember that I said that Paul wrote 13 letters. Sometime you might see that they say he wrote 14, because some people attribute Hebrew to Paul. But in the Bible, they say the author of the book of Hebrews is unknown. But you see, in the book of Romans, Paul explains that salvation is offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ only. You have to be careful, because some people, like they used to do the Gentiles, when they began to accept Christ as their Savior, they told them, oh, you got to be circumcised. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, and even when you come to church and because of religion, which is man-made these days, they might say, oh, you can't do this, or you got to do that, and you shouldn't do this. But I want to let you know that salvation is through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, which granted us grace by faith, by Jesus alone. You can't work for your salvation. You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn your salvation. Jesus Christ alone. As with all of Paul's letters, his purpose in writing was to proclaim the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ by teaching doctrine and edifying and encouraging the believers who would receive his letters. You know, we have to be encouraged. And somewhere it said that sometimes we even have to encourage ourselves. But Paul was sending this to the Christians, and probably with some new Christians, and he was encouraging them and trying to explain to them, you know, the book of Romans is pure doctrine. You see, Paul wanted to let the Christians in Rome know that God is concerned about them and how they could be saved. You know, the Jerusalem was under the Roman Empire, you know, under the Roman government at this time. And, you know, the Romans was causing hardship on them. But Paul was encouraging them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he himself was a Roman soldier, a Roman citizen, I'm sorry. He had a unique passion for those in the assembly of believers in Rome. You see, the book of Romans tell us about God, who he is and what he has done. It tells us of Jesus Christ and that his death, burial, and resurrection, he tells us what it accomplished. You can't love on God, and as my little grandson say, you know, sometimes, afterwards he say, sometimes we sin. And even though we know it's not right, he say, we just don't think about what Jesus had to go through to accomplish that for us. And that is so true. The book of Romans also tell us about ourselves and what we would be without Christ in our lives and who we were after trusting in Christ. You see, Paul points out that God did not demand man to have their lives straightened out before coming to Christ. Come on now, y'all. How many people you say, you know, you're going to start going to church, but I don't have the right clothes. Some people say, oh, you know, I got some sin in my life and I want to straighten the sin out. And then I'm going to come. If you could straighten it out, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you keep waiting till you get it right, you know, you might die before you get it right. Hallelujah. You know, but the Bible teaches us while we was yet in our sins, Jesus came and he took us in. And while we were yet in our sins, he died on the cross for those sins. Come on, if we could just get it right in our head, if we could just get it right and get it out of our head and get it in our hearts, it would be a happy day. You see, the book of Romans make it clear that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. Every good deed we have done is as filthy rags before God. So dead in our trespassing and sin that only the grace and mercy of God can save us. And y'all got to remember, y'all did not go looking for God. God came looking for you and the condition that you were in. He didn't say, I ain't going to touch this until it get clean. I ain't going to go around this until it get better. While you were yet wallowing in your sin, Jesus came and knocked on the door of your heart. And if you answered and opened the door, he let you in. And he came in you. You know, God expressed this thing called grace and mercy by sending his son, Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross in our place. Check out the book of Romans. It's going to tell you all of this. When we turn our lives over to Christ, we are no longer or should be controlled by our sin nature. You know, that sin nature we receive in Adam's sin, everybody born was born with a sin nature. But once we accept Christ, God allows his Holy Spirit to come inside of us and seals us and guide us and protect us And then we are being led by the Spirit. You see, if we make confessions that Jesus is Lord and believe that he's risen from the dead, we are saved. And you know, if you look in the book of Romans and you see that, it's telling you about salvation and being born again and what Jesus did for you and what God did by sending his son and what you should do. Because you got to remember, if you look at the New Testament, they got the book of the Gospels, Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then it's Acts. Acts is when the church was established. So if Romans was written right after Acts, you know, they had so many new converts. The door was just open for the Gentiles in the book of Acts. So all of the Gentiles that came and believed on Jesus Christ, they didn't have all of this doctrine and teaching. They weren't allowed in the temples in the synagogue. So Paul wrote this letter to try to straighten out and let them know, you know, and even the Jewish people that hadn't believed in Jesus but now want to believe in Jesus, but they were still bound by the law and in their religion, Judaism, he's trying to let them not know, you know, it was the law, but with Jesus, it's grace, unmerited. And that's how, what the book of Romans is mostly talking about if you visit it for yourself. You see, the book of Romans make it clear that there is nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing. So with saying all of that, one of the most, perhaps the best applications of Romans for us today would be to apply Romans 1 and 16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Are any of you ashamed of the gospel? And you can say, "No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Well, what do that mean? Are you ashamed or fearful to tell someone about God? Do you take every opportunity that God put in your way to maybe pray for somebody, to give words of encouragement, to give them a hug or whatever? Or whatever. Are you doing these type of things? Because they say, Paul was telling me, he said, "Look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ," scripture, Romans 1 and 16. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jews first, and also to the Greek," which is the Gentiles. So I came to tell you that tonight with the review of the book of Romans, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Instead, let us all be faithful in proclaiming it. And some of you might say, "I don't know enough." But I know everybody could sell somebody, you know, God is a good God. And everybody have a testimony what God has done in your life. Proclaim that. Instead, let us be faithful in proclaiming it, the gospel, which is our reasonable service, the great commission that Jesus left with us when he left to go to be with the Father. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore, spread the word, spread the gospel." You might be the only person that someone to listen to. So we all have a responsibility if you're not ashamed. And then there's some other scripture God say, "If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you." It is our duty, our responsibility. And because of all that God has done for us, we should want to tell somebody. We could start in our homes and then in our immediate neighborhoods. You know, some may have the opportunity on their jobs. But we all have a responsibility. So So we're going to go into scriptures right now, and we're in Romans 8 and 28. I pray that you have your Bibles. This is Bible study. You got to have a book to study, and the book we're studying is the Bible. And Romans 8 and 28 say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What that is really saying, that God is always working things out for our good. Watch this. Even if you don't realize it, you'll never be able to tell God he didn't do A, B, C, E, F, G in reference to anything in your life. God said, yes, I was. I did it. You just couldn't recognize it because you had blinders on so you couldn't see. You had blocked up your ears so you couldn't hear. You see, we have to trust him. And then we have to allow him to work his work in you. Sometimes we want things that are not good for us, or good to us. But you got to at some point say, God knows best. See, trusting God in faith, when you have strong faith and you trust God, you know what you're saying? God knows best. Have your way. And I want you to know that this does not mean by him saying that, the scripture is saying that, that all that happened to us will be good just because we love the Lord. It's not what happened in our lives, but who we go through it with. You got to realize we live in a sin-sick, evil world. This is a fallen world. But God is able to turn around every circumstance for our long range good. Come on now. You know how we could say sometime the devil set it up for the bad, but God turned it around for the good? And with this being said, God is really telling you where you start has nothing to do where you finish, because I'm constantly molding and shaping and working and twerking the matters in your life. Do you believe it? And if you believe it, then look to your future with great expectancy. Do you expect God to do something in your life? Do you go to the throne of grace with expectancy? Lord, I expect this. But I know it's not my will, but your will going to be done, God. But I'm telling you what I expect. You see? The promise of this scripture that, you know, it says God is working all things out for the good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. You see, this scripture is not for everybody. It can only be claimed by those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you might ask, who is the call? You know how people, sometimes people be talking about preachers. They be saying, you know, some are called, few are called, but many are chosen, you know, and all of these type of things, you know. But you say, who are the called? And I'm going to make it real simple tonight. The call, hallelujah, the call are those who the Holy Ghost has convinced. When the Holy Ghost came to you when you was 9, 10, 5, 7, 15, 20, 30, and you got that, felt that conviction and that urge that you needed a Savior, that was brought on you by the Holy Ghost. When he came and he convinced you and you accepted the call that the Holy Ghost brought, you became, you accepted the call. You are now the called. Because somebody be saying that the preachers are the call. Anybody who accept Christ are the call. You see, the Holy Ghost's job was to convince you. But he also let you know that Jesus is the chosen one. So you became the call when you accepted the call from the Holy Ghost. It's like God give the Holy Ghost a summon, and the summon says that God desire that all sorts of men be saved. God wanted everybody to be saved. That's the summons. He gave the summons to the Holy Ghost that's living in the earth realm. He gave it to him, and the Holy Ghost's job is to keep knocking on the doors of everyone's heart so that they could receive the gift of salvation. So the call is everyone that the Holy Ghost has convinced. Have you decided to put your trust in God? Then be patient. Learn. Grow. Be obedient. And then do your part. And yes, you do have a part to play. You see, you have to be obedient to the things of God. And what that does is keep you in position to receive all that God has for you. You know, the Bible tells us what God has for you is for you. He has it for you, but some of us are out of position to receive what he has for us. You know, he's telling us to go east. We going west. Come on now, y'all. He's saying, look, your provisions is over there. You know, sometimes people say that they heard the Spirit tell them move to Texas. And maybe God have their blessings there. But they keep not being convinced that the Holy Ghost is talking to them. So they never get there. Their blessings is over there. But you have to cooperate, which makes you, what helps you to be in position to receive what he has for you. And God already told us that he does not allow our past to hinder our intended future. And, you know, God used a lot of examples in the Bible. And a couple of months ago, we did three examples in the Bible. And Joseph was one of them. But I'm going to use this example tonight on God working all things out for your good. You see, Joseph is an example of where you start has nothing to do with where you end, and shows that God is working it out for you. Hallelujah. You see, Joseph was favored by his father, which caused his brothers to hate him. Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him, but decided to sell him into slavery. You see, Joseph got to Egypt as a slave, but God was with him. Come on, y'all. Look how God works with you. Think about some things in your life that seem it was the worst in the world. And if you really take time and really pay attention and meditate on it, you could see how the hands of God was in that situation. Or if you didn't understand it then, you understood it by and by. You see, he got to Egypt as a slave, but God was with him, and he was placed in a position second in command. Joseph was a big boy. But you see what happened, adversity come back, and now Joseph is placed in jail for a crime he didn't commit. Y'all know the story, and if you don't, look it up. For, you know, the man's wife who had Joseph in control wanted Joseph. Come on, y'all, ain't nothing new under the sun. And when Joseph refused her, she said he tried to rape her. The man had to go along with his wife, make a long story short, Joseph went to jail. When he got in jail, he had a gift. Watch this. Joseph had a gift given to him by God to interpret dreams. Don't tell me, God, if God, wherever God guides, he don't provide, and whatever God has for you to do. You see, the intended purpose that God wants for you is not a purpose that you design or orchestrated. It's what God wants for you. And if God wanted for you, he's going to give you everything so you can see yourself through. God does not set you up to fail. The provisions are there. But you got to stay in line to receive it. You got to stay in position. So you see, Joseph went to jail, and he had a gift that God had given him to interpret dreams. The king needed someone to interpret the dream, and the people in jail who Joseph had interpreted the dream, and he had even asked the people to tell somebody when they got out of jail. Of course, they forgot, and then what God do? He get a king a dream. 2 years later, after the man got out of jail, and the king had the dream, and then the man tell the king about Joseph. King summoned Joseph. The rest is history. Joseph come. He interpret the dream. The king make him second in charge to the whole nation of Egypt. That little slave, as they'll say about Jesus Christ. How, he ain't working with much because that's Mary, little old boy. Mary, you know, Joseph, the carpenter's son. Where you start have nothing to do with where you finish. And what God has for you is for you. And God's intended purpose for you is for his glory. So Joseph is now the second in charge to the nation of Egypt. You see? Was God working it out together for his good? And then what happened? The king saw that something, the king saw something in Joseph that God had his hand upon him. You know, sometimes people can open doors for you because they could see the Spirit of God upon you. The scripture says, let your light so shine that men see your good works and glorify the Father. Can anybody see a little Jesus in you? See, God had an intended purpose for Joseph's life, and he was always working it out for his good. When God has a plan, purpose for your life, he will provide the provisions to accomplish it. You see, so what after Joseph interpreted the dream, and it was about famine, and he told them how they could get it and what they could do and the process of doing it. And you see, it came to a time where there was nowhere, no food, nowhere in the land. The only person, and I don't mean in no section like New Orleans, I'm saying like the United States of America. Nobody had no food because, they might have had some things, but I mean the grain and stuff like that, the grain really, which they did a lot, so many things with. The only food they had was what Joseph was in control of. Now, that's a big boy, huh? Joseph was not able to save his entire family, but everyone in the land from starvation. How Joseph started as a slave and ended up second to the king. Because God will make your enemies your footstools. When his brothers came to him and they had to bow down and they were scared because they know what they had did him. Joseph told him, man, don't worry about it. He said, because what you set up for my bad, it was a part of God's plan and he turned it around for the good. He said, all y'all come in, and I'm going to take care of all y'all, even though you did that to me. Come on, y'all. Never despise your small beginnings, because it has nothing to do with where you end. If we look at the next scripture, Romans 8 and 29, say, for whom we did for new. Romans 8 and 29. For whom he did for new. He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. What is saying? To whom he had foreknew. All of us that he knew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, what is saying? Some people, let me finish reading the scripture before I get in that, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And 30 said, moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called, and whom he called, them he also glorified, and whom he glorified, him, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. You see, the scriptures let us know that God's ultimate goal is for us to conform to the image of his son. We should always ask ourselves the question. Excuse. We should always ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? Whenever we making a decision and trying to figure something out, if we just stop. And, you know, that was like a fad and, you know, a cliche going around. But it, think about it. If you say, what would Jesus do? Because Jesus is coming back. And we somehow will be transformed into his likeness. This process has already begun in our in a believer's life. Don't you know they got us? Don't you know that we are trying to be more like Christ, to allow the Word of God to be our moral compass, to turn away from the standards of the world? We are being glorified, and we are being justified, and we are being conformed to the image of his Son. As we become more and more like him, we can only then truly govern who we are. I tell people all the time, until you know who your maker is, you'll know, never know who you are. That's why so many people are looking for love in all the wrong places and can't never be satisfied. And it was about 3 weeks ago when them two people committed suicide, people making money and have prestige and fame, but they didn't know who they were. That's why I say it's not what you go through, it's who you go through it with. They didn't have enough faith to hold on for another day. What's the lady name was Spade, I think it was. She was a designer, and the other guy be on CNN who go around tasting the food and all them different things. I think his name was Boudin or something like that. In the same week, both of them committed suicide, and I'm not sure, but they say both of them hung themselves. I'm not sure of that fact, but that's what was said. You see, some people live their whole lives not knowing who they are or who they belong to. If you don't know you belong to Jesus, that means you're out here walking on your own. Or either you believe you belong to the devil or don't know you belong to the devil, but you're acting like his and you're doing what he wants you to do, so you must be his. We become conformed to Christ's likeness by reading and heeding to the word and by studying his life on earth through the Gospels. If you trust God and obey his word, you will become mature. You know, they say when we first start, we are babes and we can't eat the meat. We can only drink the milk. And some people started out on milk and still on milk. Evaluate yourself. I can't see you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you got the responsibility to evaluate yourself where you are. And looking at where you are right now is where you could take and decide where you want to go and how fast you want to get there and how far you want to go and what you want to do for your father and what's the plan to do it. Come on now. And all of that. But you see, once we do this, we become more matured. And I want to let you know tonight, maturity in the things of God has its benefits. You see, Christian growth is necessary. Because the Bible say in Matthew 6:33, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, you know, all things going to be added to you. So it's telling you, seek first. Have faith, be patient, and wait upon God, and you'll get the rest. But it says, seek ye first. See, some people is trying to get it without seeking ye first. And it's a little backwards because you get it and you can't keep it. You get it and it gives you no joy. Come on now. But if you seek ye first the kingdom, even when you don't have nothing, you know you're rich. Hallelujah. They say the things of God makes us rich, not money and fame, which is all temporal. Because only what you do for Christ is going to last. You see, you are filled with the Spirit once you believe and should cooperate with his instructions. Some believe this verse means that before the beginning of the world, God chose certain people to be saved and receive his gift of salvation. I came to tell you, God didn't choose some people to be saved and others not to be saved. But because he's all-knowing, he knew who would accept and who wouldn't. You see, what is clear that God's purpose for us was not an afterthought. It was settled before the foundation of the world. And if you answer the call, you become the called. God then justified you. And he's constantly glorifying you daily. And this is God's promise to us, which is the work that he do. And cooperating with the Holy Spirit is our work. And I'm going to take a little time to give you a little visit on Job. I'm giving you examples with how God's word said it, and he did it in the lives of other people. But you got to realize what he did for them, he'll do for you. You see, we're going to look at Job, and Job was one of God's chosen people who reverenced God greatly. You see, one day Satan told God that the people only loved him when everything was going good. God said, have you considered my servant Job? And they say, if you read it in the Bible, that's when the angels had came to God like a little meeting or whatever, and the devil was right there with him. How you like that? Satan said, let me have my way with him, and he will curse you to your face. Here we see that Satan had to get permission from God to attack Job, and God told him, do what you want, but you can't kill him. This should let you know Satan try every trick in the book to get you to do what he wants you to do. But you have to accept, and he has to get permission from God. Yes, God do allow things to happen that he didn't orchestrate. But even if it's something that Satan set up and God decide to allow it, he's still going to work it out together for the good because you belong to him. A good example is Katrina. When Katrina came in, it wet the houses of the ones who loved God and ones who didn't. The ones who was called and the ones who wasn't called. On the good, the bad, and the ugly. God might have didn't orchestrate it, and I have to say that because I don't know the exact everything in the hearts and the mind of God, but if he didn't orchestrate it, he allowed it. Yes, some people died in a flood. Yes, some people still haven't recovered, but they have a lot of people that did. And even the ones who didn't recover, it ain't over till God says it's over. And as I said earlier, sometime, not sometime, but all the time, you have to keep yourself in position to receive all that God has for you. Can you believe it? You see, so Satan had to get permission from God to attack Job, and God told him, do what you want, but don't kill him. You see, after God told Satan that, in one day, Job lost everything. All of his children were killed that day. All of his health began to deteriorate that day. All of his wealth was gone. All his cattle, his cows, his goats, whatever. You know, everything was gone that day. This one day, now, y'all, I'm talking about. Even his friends and his other family members walked away from him that day. You see, Job didn't understand what was happening in the beginning of his trials and tribulation. But he did understand by and by. But until he did, he was willing to wait until his change comes. You know, you might be saying, oh, I'm so sorry because this happened. I'm so sorry because that happened. Oh, I lost my house. I lost a loved one. Joseph lost everything in one day. And I'm sure he was, he was overwhelmed and dumbfounded. But you see, he made the conscious decision he was going to wait until his change comes. You see, Job understood that nothing happened to us unless God allows or orchestrated. And any way it comes, you got to be grown up enough in your life and in your relationship with God to say, it is well. I don't like the way it looks, but I still know God is in control. I know God is not setting me up to fail. I know God promised he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I have to just wait. I'm going to hold on to the confession of my faith until my change come. And if I like it or don't like it, it is well. You see, they say there's life and death in the power of a tongue. If you keep saying what it is or what it ain't, you know. You see, people start accusing Job of wrongdoing in his life and was causing him a lot of trouble and demise. And his wife asked him to curse God and die. But look what Job said in Job 13 and 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will remain my own way before him. Joseph said, God could do what he wants. God created me in the first place. I'm only a steward in the second place. And God is the giver of life. And determine when it's over. Job was holding on a confession of his fate. And when, Job, I guess, said, even though I can't hear God's voice in the midst of all of this, and I can't see God's mighty hand in the midst of this stuff, he said, I can't hear his voice, and I can't see his hand, but I'm going to trust his plan. That's deep. We all know where Job started, but it had nothing to do with where he ended. You see, because what happened, God restored all that was lost. And I come to tell you tonight, Job got double for his trouble. More children that he had before, better health, and more wealth. Come on now. You see, God uses everything in our lives to either mature us, strengthen us, or in Job's case, it was only a test. But like Job, we must be patient and hold on. Because our help is always on the way. Trust God. Because God do allow things to come our way and turns it around for our good and his glory. You got to believe it. And then maybe you could achieve it. You can't achieve it without believing it. In the last verse, Romans 8 and 31 said, what shall we then say to these things? I love this, y'all. I love it. If God before us, what shall we say to these things? If God before us, who can be against us? Do you believe that? You see, God has a purpose and an intended end for our lives. Y'all know, what's that, Jeremiah 29:11? I know thoughts that, look, y'all, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not evil. He said, I'm going to give each and every one of you an expected end. and how I'm going to do it, because I'm working it out together always for your good. Come on now, y'all. He's saying, then I'm going to give you the provisions to do it, and I'm going to move obstacles out your way. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, and he said, no matter what the devil send your way for your bad, he said, I could turn it around for your good. He said, you see all of these battles that you may be facing out here? The battles, those battles don't belong to you. They're mine. But you got to allow me to handle mine, and you handle yours. You see, God can open doors no man can shut, and shut those no man can open. God is letting us know that he is truly working all things out for our good, and we are more than conquerors with Christ, only if we hold on. You know, he said, weapons going to form against you, but they will not prosper. You see, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What he has done is doing and promised to do for us, he will surely do it. If he said it, he's going to do it. And as I close, I want you to know you can depend on God. And I came to tell each and every one of you, your best is yet to come. And your ladder will be greater than your beginning. And where you start has nothing to do with where you finish. And that's word, y'all. That's word. At this time, if anyone would like to say anything about the lesson or have a testimony or talk about the goodness of God. Nobody don't have nothing to say good about God, how he's working in your life. If anyone would like to pray, give words of encouragement, you could do so at this time. And I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. And remember, this is not a program. The more people talk, the more money I get. This is not nothing that is being paid. You know, I don't get no awards for how many people talk, no awards for how many people call or anything like that. But I do know that God is allowing this opportunity to come forth for his children. And calling your number is 985-774. This is Sister Diane McBride. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. I just want to make sure something's clear. To stay in line, that would be, I mean, even though you get pulled in so many different directions you're praying to get away from, but to stay in line, I'm understanding after reading some of this that keep reading, and even if you're sinning, but just keep reading daily in the Bible, and God will help you overcome and to stay in line. Is that what I'm understanding?
Correct.
Okay.
Because you see, if you stop reading and give up everything, you're just where you're at. But when you continue to read and search and meditate and pray to God, it's building you up and it's edifying you. So you want to stay in line because you keep reading, you're going to be thinking about the things of God.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You keep studying.
Yeah.
You don't have your heart and mind on God.
And then also, I think maybe he might look down and say, no matter, she's going through this, she's going through that, or him, you know, but she's still in the Word. And I think he might move us up a step or two because of that.
He have compassion.
Open.
And he knows
yes.
your heart. And remember, you're his child. And he loves you. And when I say keep in mind, you know, we can't just do everything all the way we want to do. And I can't sit here tonight and tell you, you got to be perfect, because I have learned through studying the Bible that if one person could get perfect in this world, a whole world, not the United States, the whole world from Genesis to now, if one person could have got perfect or could do everything perfect, there would have been no need for Jesus. And I'm not giving you a license to sin, but
right.
to realize that Jesus is gonna has taken all of our sins away should make us love him even more and want to do what he wants us to do, to be obedient. That's just like your earthly father and your mother. You wouldn't do anything in front of them. If you did something you didn't want them to know about it, you wasn't just flaunting your sin and your evil in front of them. But that's what
right.
we do to God. Because God sees and knows everything. Right?
Right.
So that's
and then,
what it
and
means.
Then when
so
I am. Got it. Got
Go ahead, babe.
Anyway. But that's when I am in these deep, dark places. And if I stand still and stay in the Word, and if I really listen hard to him and the Holy Ghost and everything, I think he gives me understanding why I'm there, and I can learn something from there that maybe I can teach somebody else.
Hallelujah.
You, know?
You got it, my sister. And that's why Paul
I
said,
you.
As
Thanks.
Much as Paul, I love you too, as much as Paul loved and knew about God, Paul said that I have to keep pressing. He said, every time I want to do what is right, evil is always present. And sometimes the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the daily struggle.
Yeah, as part
that's
of our
right.
growth and something we have to overcome daily. And the way to overcome it is to keep my eyes in the book.
Correct. When Peter was walking on water, he was walking, trotting on that water. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. Got it?
Yes, I got it. Thank you so much, Sister Diane.
We got to keep our eyes and our heart, you know, and what it is, we trying to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. We want to be better tomorrow than, we want to be better next year than we was this year. Got it? We want to be better tomorrow than we was today. And you will never stop growing if you live to be 130. It's still going to be something to grow. It's still going to be something to know. And that's the way God planned it.
Thank
so
you
I thank
so
you, Sister McBride.
Okay.
And thank you for your word of encouragement, because you explained it, you know, so elegant. And somebody else may have been thinking about the same thing, and now they may see it a little bit clearer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If there's anyone else who would like to say something, anyone would like to lead us out in prayer, anyone would like to give words of encouragement, anyone would like to say something good that God is doing in their lives. If not, it is now 8:38, and we're going to go ahead and end if no one else has anything to say. And I'm going to do a benediction tonight, well, with a little prayer. But it is my prayer that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our job to keep growing daily. It's our job to grow so that we become grown-up Christians. It's our job to grow so we become mature. Because as the lesson said tonight, maturity has its advantages. And I want you to know that if you take care of God's business, reading the word, being kind to one another, treating your neighbor as yourself, sowing only what you want to reap, giving to the poor, visiting the prison, visiting the sick. Come on, y'all. feeding those that's hungry, if we do take care of God's business, God will surely take care of yours. And that's our lesson tonight. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And I want you to be prayerful coming in this week for the children that is in bondage. Be prayerful for our Supreme Court that's fixing to be turned around. Pray for our city and our state and our country and our leaders, that God, that they allow God into their hearts with their decisions. Because the Holy Ghost is still speaking and guiding, but you see, they have deaf ears. So with all of that being said, I just want you to know that I love you, and so does God. And if it's His will, we'll be back on next week. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Good night, and be blessed.